It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
We really gotta try out this AI companion thing on Zoom. I might be able to replace you. Which is good because you're about to pop off here. You and your people have finally come into their own. I have seen in multiple platforms, multiple commercials for the new season of Curse of Oak Island.
Really?
Including one today. I want to say on Apple TV Plus. Maybe on Hulu. I don't know.
Why are you seeing them?
I don't know. And in the one I saw today, it was a full-on like trailer. Mm. And they tried to heavily imply that they find the money pit and end up it.
Well, yeah, they've been heavily implying the first 10 seasons.
Yeah. No, this one stuck in a quote about, I never thought we'd be here in the money pit. And it had some shots that made it look like it might be that. I don't know. No, it snuck up on me because YouTube on my TV, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, it just has a static ad at the top when I go into it. Mm. And then the video recommendations are below that. Sometimes it's just video recommendations, but for sometimes it's that. And I had one day that was for the new season of Curse of Oak Island. And I was like, seriously, YouTube? You're at the point where you think people want to know about that? Although I did tell you, Justin McElroy is in the Curse of Oak Island. So.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I was watching, it was either Hulu or Apple TV Plus, and it was a full-on commercial. Because, like, I know because I had the option to skip it, and I didn't do it. Yeah. So, big business. Getting serious.
Yeah, getting
serious. Now that
serious.
We're on, I believe, season 10?
Season 10, yep.
What am I doing in my life?
It's fun. It's fun to watch.
Like in 10 seasons of Curse of Oak Island, and here I am. No money pit for me.
No, Oak Island has been going on just a couple of years less than we have. Just a couple of years. Three, I guess.
I wonder what they're going to do with episode 666.
I mean, they have breaks, so 666 is going to come. It's going to be a long time coming for them.
It's weird that soap operas didn't ever deal with it. Like, so most soap operas probably have a 666 episode. Heck, The Simpsons has had one. Maybe they didn't talk about it.
Maybe the soap opera skipped it, like the hotels that don't have a 13th floor.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have a 13th floor. That's what's so funny is, yes, there is still a 13th floor, even if you don't call it that. That's hilarious. I don't think they do that anymore, though.
Properly give into the superstition, you have to build a 13th floor and just nobody
gets to be on it.
We pulled the button out of the elevator, the whole bit. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that now is going to talk about movies and things again, now that the strike is over. Literally occurred to me today when I was listening to a new episode of My Brother and Me, and they were very excited about being able to talk about movies again that we never even discussed. Not.
No.
I mean, and there's so many things I watch and things I listen to that made a big deal of, like, we're not talking about upcoming projects or anything like that until strike is over.
In solidarity, yeah.
And I'm like, we didn't even think about it. I mean, to be fair, I don't think we got a lot of impact on Hollywood. No. I mean, I know Fran Drescher listens to the podcast, but I don't think in her professional capacity as head of the Screen Actors Guild does she listen. So
pretty much everybody, all the critics and the, you know, various people I knew were still making content. They didn't stop or even talk about stopping. So
no, see, the ones I listened to were pretty big on not doing it, which mostly come because it's podcasters. So it's mostly like saw a movie, can't talk about it, that kind of thing. Was doing a lot of that. Timothy Chalamet hosted SNL this weekend, and it was 2 days before that the strike got resolved. And so the opening was all about his excitement of being able to like talk about Wonka and everything. Oh, they did a whole musical number all about it. It's pretty cute. It was a very so-so episode. It's been real weird since they came back. SNL. Pete Davidson's episode was good, but then Bad Bunny, who is a musician, hosted and was the musical guest, and almost every single sketch was terrible. And then Nate Bargatze, the stand-up comedian, hosted, and almost every single sketch was great. And then Timothy Chalamet hosted.
Oh, well. Weird.
For those of you just joining us for the first time, because you were waiting for the strike to be finished, don't worry. It's safe now. We have a hat. It is magical. It is not a member of the Screen Actors Guild or AFTRA, which I don't know what AFTRA stands for, but it's not a member of that either. It is magical, though, in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people write into that email address whatever the crap they want, usually topics, questions, comments, things like that. The hat magically forwards the emails to us. We read them, talk about them on the show till we're done. That's it.
That's it. And he's Tony and I'm William, and this is episode 661. Just need to slip that in there.
It's ruined. All right, I'm ending the episode now. It's over. We ruined it. I didn't do it right. No, I'm kidding. I won't do that. Goodness. I just saw there's an option I could pause the recording.
Yeah. I don't know what that does. I mean, it just pauses it, I suppose. Gives me an opportunity
to say horrible things to you that I would never say on the air. That's a lie.
Unpause
it gives me a chance to say nice things to you that I would never say on the air.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
That's the way it goes.
So how's your week been?
Oh, good. I'm trying to think. If, like you said, there's often a thing I see that I don't, that I forget to mention. We did talk about Five Nights at Freddy's, right? I talked about watching that.
Did we? I don't. I'm not sure. The problem is, I've talked with a few people about watching. Oh.
I feel like we did.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like we did. So that one, I think that's it. We are watching. So the guy that made Yellowstone and all those Yellowstone spinoffs or whatever, he's made a new show about Bass Reeves, who was the first black deputy marshal, and we're watching that. It's pretty good. What's that guy's name? So the guy who played
Little.
No, the guy who played Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma. It was a
good joke.
What's his name? People. Anyway, he's playing Bass Reeves, and he's doing a fantastic job. Just, I mean, if whatever other problems the show may or may not have, historical accuracy and a few other things, he is so good. It's worth watching the show just for him. They only have 3 episodes out. Donald Sutherland's in it too for a little bit.
Donald Sutherland's everywhere these days.
And the show's called Lawmen. Lawmen, colon, something, Bass Reeves. Anyway, what is that guy's name?
David Oyelowo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've never seen Selma, but
he's great in
a lot of other things, I think.
Yeah, he's great in Selma. He's been in a few other things, but
he's been in a lot of other things. But he's really good in this. I think I could. He was in the home movie version of Princess Bride.
Oh yeah, yeah, I think he was. But
I should watch that again.
Randy Quaid is also in it.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You're not? Did I say Randy?
You did.
Dennis Quaid.
So, like, I cannot tell dead? You he's not.
He's still alive. Okay. I think I'd like
I
it.
Mean, as far as I know, he could at any moment he could be lying in a ditch in Juarez. I have no idea. But like, here's the thing. You say to me, also Dennis Quaid is in it. I'm like, oh, okay. You say to me, also Randy Quaid is in it. I'm losing my mind. And then you're like, oh no, Dennis Quaid. Because you did that, I now do not give a shit that Dennis Quaid is in it. That is the most mundane, uninteresting thing in the world for Dennis Quaid to be in a TV show.
Well,
when I thought it was Randy Quaid, that was going to be insane. Now I'm like, whatever.
I wish it was.
Did they also have craft services? I don't care.
Anyway,
you ruined it. You fucked up. You did whatever the opposite of burying the lead is.
Well,
killed it. I don't care that Dennis Quaid's in it. Don't talk to me about Dennis Quaid. I don't care. Is it? Is he good?
No.
Oh no, that's a shame.
No, that's what I was gonna say. Was he doesn't do a very good job, in my opinion. I mean, maybe other people would think he's doing great, but. I don't think
historically, I have been a fan of Dennis Quaid as an actor. He has taken a what seems like very deliberate direction in the kind of projects he is in, such that I have not seen him in a new thing in probably a couple of decades.
Well, this role doesn't suit him at all. I mean, it's kind of the kind of role that they give Jeff Bridges these days.
It's not Bo Bridges.
No, Jeff Bridges. It's very much like
really.
It's very
yeah,
much.
He would suck at that.
Yeah, it's very much like Bridges' role in True Grit or whatever. It's kind of like that, not quite.
Yeah, Dennis Quaid would suck at that.
He does. It's not good.
Yeah, that's not great.
It's really sad how bad it is, actually. Randy Quaid could do it, though.
I think Sutherland could do it, and Dennis Quaid could play a traditionally Donald Sutherland-esque role.
Oh, better. Maybe. So. But they wanted, I mean, Donald Sutherland, they wanted
an... There's an age difference.
Yeah, pretty old guy for that role. Yeah. Sutherland, which of course he nails it. Of course he does. But man, I mean, I would watch it just for, you know, just for the guy who's playing Bass Reeves. He's just such just an amazing job. He's just fun to watch. The story is a little rushed, which is very unlike the other types of things that this guy does. A lot of his stuff is a very well-timed slow burn, and this isn't that. But it's probably because, I don't know why, actually. But, you know, scene for scene, it's very good. It just feels a little fast compared to his usual fare. The scores on Rotten Tomatoes are in the mid-70s, which I think it deserves better than that, both on the critic and audience side. But I wonder if that's not why, because people who are usually fans of this guy's work probably feel like, why are you rushing this story? Why are you just jumping from one thing to the other so fast?
70s is pretty good for realistic scores. Like, we get movies and TV shows that come out that are like 98 or 100%. And first of all, that's usually for sort of spurious reasons.
Yeah.
And also it frequently doesn't last very
long. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
In the grand scheme, in the 70s, that's green, right? Wait, sorry, that's Metacritic, but I mean
fresh.
Yeah.
It's fresh.
Certified.
I don't know. I would recommend it. You don't really like Westerns though, do you?
I think I do. I grew up thinking I didn't, and then over time I was like, I actually think it was one of those where I'm like, well, I like this one, and I like this one, and I might like Westerns.
Well, if you try to watch this, tell me what you think, because
what's the streaming service?
Paramount Plus.
Well then fuck you.
Sorry.
We don't got that.
It just occurred to me that it's on the streaming service you probably don't have.
I wondered because you said you watched Five Nights, and I'm like, isn't that one on? No, that one's on Peacock. That's right.
Yeah,
Peacock. Or did you go to the theater for that one?
No, we did talk about it because I did tell you we saw it on Peacock. Yeah, we did talk about it. But I can't think of any other. Oh. We watched the newest Insidious movie. We watched that. I don't think I talked to you about that.
And?
I thought it was okay. I think if you're a fan of Insidious or The Conjuring, I say that because, you know, James Wan is kind of, you know, kind of the heart of both of those things. You'd probably like it. It wasn't groundbreaking or anything, but if that's your thing, you'd probably like it. We kind of like James Wan's work in general. We liked when he Aquaman. We thought that was really good. So we watched it, and it wasn't. I mean, I think we did like the first Insidious, and the subsequent ones weren't quite as good. You know how that goes. And this was kind of in the similar to the sequels in quality. But I mean, we weren't sad we watched it. You know, we kind of like that kind of thing. So that was okay. I think that's it. But if anyone's interested at all in the story of Bass Reeves, which is an interesting story, I think the dramatization they
made out of it. And you have Paramount Plus.
Well, I think, yeah, Paramount Plus. I was going to say, we get it. Like, we go through Prime or something to get it?
Yeah, you can have channels. You can buy channels in Prime.
Okay, so that's probably what we did.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's exact. I don't think it's exactly the same content as getting the actual service, but it's basically the same content.
Yeah. But anyway, how about
Although
you?
Although that does mean I could probably buy it if I wanted to.
But how was your week?
Now, wait, before we go on to me, I just want to double check. You didn't go to the theaters this weekend and see the Marvels, did you?
No. I mean, that's a fair question. We might have done that, but...
It is a fair question because you might have done it and you might have forgotten to mention it.
Both of those things. Actually, yes. The kids were over all weekend, which was nice, really great. But so we didn't go anywhere, no.
I am trying to decide if I want to go see it in the theaters. And the main reason I can think of for wanting to is it's my last piece of MCU that I have decided, at least at this point, it's the last thing that I have heard of that I actually want to see. And part of me is like, I just want to get it over with. Especially because I saw a more recent trailer that really makes it look like every other goddamn MCU movie ever. Like, they have brought in new bits and done lots more visuals and stuff, and I'm just like, yeah, I know how this plot is going to go. I don't know what the particular MacGuffin and or generic bad guys' aims are going to be, but I know exactly how this is going to go. And power, friendship, the end, Skybeam, Faceless Army, all that kind of stuff. Skybeam and an inhuman faceless army so that we can kill them and nobody feels bad.
Right.
You're gonna have both of those. We haven't done much. I watched a ton of stuff. We finished both of the TV shows we were currently watching, which were season two of Loki and season two of Our Flag Means Death.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a very interesting bit of compare contrast there, because we finished them on the same night.
Oh, wow.
And it was literally like, we watched the last two episodes of Loki, and then we watched the last two episodes of Our Flag Means Death back to back. And it's very interesting because both shows don't make sense. Like, both shows, continuity-wise, story-wise, do not hold up under scrutiny at all. However, whereas Loki tries to make you care about some really underdeveloped characters and some very generic philosophical stuff, like all MCU things nowadays, they're all basically freshman year philosophy and ethics courses where ultimately the real power was in you all along. Friends are more important than whatever else. Be a good person even when you shouldn't be. Like, all the usual generic believe in yourself. The real Loki were the friends we made. You know, whatever. All the usual shit. It's that. And also, they spend a lot of time on the details of the plot and really sort of emphasize how much it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's filled with MCU level humor, which is not bad, but it's very mediocre, mid, as the kids say these days. And it's also, we've done it before. It's not new material. Our Flag Means Death also makes no sense. Bits of it constantly, like, because this is my brain, so I'm just like, that's not. Well, first of all, there's tons of, like, that's not how piracy was. That's not how, that's a reference to something that I'm pretty sure wouldn't have existed when this happened and stuff like that. And just goofy stuff where, like, relationships turn on a dime real fast and people end up at, like, the Caribbean Sea is remarkably small for how much people just run into each other and all that kind of shit.
Right.
But is all about the characters and all about their relationships, and it deals with real, genuine issues and lessons that people have in relationships, romantic relationships, friendships, working relationships, all of these things built into it. And it's clever as shit. It's funny as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so weird because I finished Loki and I was like, yeah, I'm glad that's done. And I finished Our Flags Mean Death, and I was like, I mean, it's a good ending. I'm happy with the ending. They did get a limited, they got a reduced number of episodes for the second season. So they couldn't quite do it as it was. So it does get a little abrupt near the end. So does Loki. So do most shows. TV shows have a hard time sticking the landing.
Yeah.
I have noticed. I think that might just be a story thing. Some the endings can be hard.
Yeah.
But it was just weird to compare them. I'm like, they both, because the thing I wanted to complain about with Loki, I'm like, Our Flag Means Death has the same problem.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, then why does one annoy me so much more than the other? And that's what it is. It's what they are working with. It's Loki was still real fun. Ki-Hi Kwan, I loved him. It is far and away the best Owen Wilson performance I've ever seen, which the bar for that is real, real low. It wasn't a great performance, but it's the best one I saw. And it's not a ton of chemistry, but he and Tom Hiddleston do have some chemistry, and that is nice. But it has a lot of actors on the side that I really enjoyed. But yeah, whatever. This one did not end on some sort of cliffhanger. It I mean, they could make more if they wanted to, but things resolved in this one. It ended in this one. Same with our flagman's death. So I think they are pretty much resolved. Nobody else is going to find this interesting, which is why I'm going to talk about it. I watched the brand new fourth Hell House LLC movie. But only after rewatching the first three. Because this one was supposedly Origins. And I was like, I need to remember. I think I talked about this before. I was very confused because the original three wrapped up. Like, I thought they were like, here's all your unanswered questions about the Hell House movie. And I'm like, I didn't have any. you ended it. It was fine. And this movie, because we're dealing with found footage and stuff like that, it is a movie that takes place after the others, but mostly informs things that happened before the others. So, like, they find evidence of things that are like film and stuff from before the first three movies, but this movie is technically set after those three movies.
Okay.
And it is in a different place. The first three were all in the same place. Quick rundown here for this. Hell House LLC, one of my favorite low budget found footage movies. I think it does a lot with very little. It takes place in an old abandoned hotel that might have been run by Satanists, and these people decide to turn it into a Halloween haunt, and on opening night, shit goes crazy, people die, portals to hell are opened, etc., etc. And the movie is essentially a documentary of this happening like 6 years earlier or something. Gotcha. And I like it. It's good. Second movie, it's been a couple more years. Somebody does more of a documentary and some people decide they're going to go back into the abandoned house, see what happened, and bad shit happens and they all get demoned and everything. Not as good. Not so great. It's fine. It's not that great. The third one, a random billionaire buys the hotel a couple years later to stage a... It's a live theater thing, kind of like Sleep No More in New York, where like you're in different rooms and scenes are happening in different ways and stuff. And again, terrible demoning shit happens. But this eccentric billionaire has a plan to make things. He resolves the demon stuff at the end. It's terrible. The third one, in fact, rewatching it, I'm like, wow, this third one is really bad. It's bad, but it wraps it up. This one is random people we've never seen before going to a completely unrelated house in the same county to see, because it's supposedly haunted because there was a family murder there or whatever. And we slowly find out it's tied into all the stuff at the other place. Mm. We find more of the history of the Satanists and all. And I don't give a shit. It's Steve Cognoscetti is the guy who made these. He wrote and directed all four of them. I looked him up. These are the only four movies he's made, with the exception of some short films early in his career. I want him to do other things. I think he has some talent. I liked the first two movies mostly. Honestly, this fourth one is probably the second best of them, but I don't care anymore. Like, all we learned about here is we learned about the evil people's history a little bit more, which wasn't like enlightening. It was just like, yeah, the Satanist dude in upstate New York was originally in a different state, and then he moved to a different one, and that's when he met up with other people who were probably also Satanists. Here we go. And we got the origin of the creepy clown that is arguably the iconic monster of the series. Which, yeah, I didn't really care about that either. So, yeah. I don't think I recommend them, but I saw them. But more importantly, we saw John Wick 4.
Oh.
A Good Day to John Wicker. Something.
How was it?
I mean, I think the answer is not very good, but here's the problem. You know me. I enjoyed the first John Wick. I did not enjoy the second or the third John Wick. I didn't enjoy this either for the same reasons in my, like, to me, John Wick 4 was John Wick 2 and John Wick 3. It's just more of that. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It was, I didn't like it in the same ways I didn't like the other one. Also, looked it up this time. The dude who directed the John Wick movies directed all four of them, and he's never directed anything except them, and he mostly is a stuntman.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that about
him. And that explains so much. my wife, however, who liked all three of the first three John Wick films, did not like this one. She could not explain it to me in any way that didn't make me go, yeah, but that's true of two and three as well. It's actually, this is true of the Hell House things too. The Hell House things and the John Wick things. All the movies that I saw the fourth of recently are really getting weeping angeled, like hard. Like, we keep getting more detail and it makes it less cool and more nonsensical and stupid. Like, this time while watching it, I really thought about, like, why, how does this elaborate assassin society exist, and why, like, the amount of infrastructure in place, there is no way the amount of money funneled in to this society does not hugely outweigh however much money you get from rich people wanting you to assassinate people. Like, the only way I can do it in my head, the big thing is the table is in charge of everything. Table's the head, and we always just hear about them in whispers and shit like that. I think the table is some idle rich people who literally set all this up centuries ago and operate it at a loss because it makes them feel cool. Only way it makes sense.
Yeah, maybe that's
And even then it doesn't really make, like, there are huge standing armies. Entire buildings are destroyed. Millions of dollars are tossed around all over the place constantly. Just such elaborate systems in place that frequently cost a lot of money. Like, there's just a lot of things that are, like, needlessly expensive. And
you think the average American audience goer thinks that many assassinations happen in the world that you would
in the second or third one, there's a bit where there's a homeless dude and he says something to John Wick, letting you know he's one of them also. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, because that's the thing, why would you be an assassin? The movies are also littered with people who joined the secret society of assassins, and ever since then their lives have sucked. Like, tons of them. Most people, like, I have yet to other than pure sadism through four movies, I have yet to understand why anyone would ever join. They all hate it and they all talk about how you can never get out, like, it sucks. And, like, you never even see, suppose millions of dollars, but, like, this can't be the best way to earn that. And if it does, like, do it for a little bit, get some millions of dollars, and then go. Like, you never even see anybody making good use of their money. Like, you never see anybody, like, except, again, the society as a whole costs a ton because people fly everywhere and bring armies with them and destroy things. Like, I don't understand. And who does that and becomes the homeless guy? Why are you the homeless guy?
Well, he's undercover.
Also, first movie brought forth a new fetish for a bunch of people. The operators, the phone operators. Have you seen any of these?
Yeah, I think I've seen the first three.
Okay, so the phone operator chicks, you know, that have the old 50s hair and the horn-rimmed glasses and the tattoo sleeves and the sleeveless blouses. In the fourth one, we deal with operators in a completely different non-European country. They wear the exact same outfits and have the tattoos. It's like a dress code. That's insane. Like, we only hire suicide girls, and they have to wear sleeveless cream-colored blouses. All of them.
It's probably one of the crimes that happens the least often is assassination. And as far as paid killings go, you know, a lot of people who get paid to kill someone are not professional assassins. Someone
no, that, that's the killed. Thing. Most times, if you need somebody killed, you do not need to spend millions of dollars on a secret society.
No,
to do it. That's only if you're killing off like the president of something or whatever. Like, yeah, it's nuts.
It doesn't make sense.
Also, I mean, I guess mildly, there's a blind dude in this one, and he's a very good fighter. And I'm really tired of this trope. Like, the blind fighter who's a badass has been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not inherently opposed to that. But it's never... He's still an amazing fighter despite his blindness. It's always he's blind and magically he's the best fighter in the room. Like, no! like this one borderline implies he's a better assassin than when he had sight.
Hmm.
Like, I'm so tired of this idea where, like, it's like a Daredevil thing. Like, Daredevil specifically has superpowers. That's mm-hmm. how he gets away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone else, the blind man, like, no, a blind man, this blind man is still a very formidable killer who has had training in combat, and that hasn't gone away. Fine. This blind man can kill an entire crowd of professional assassins with guns. Out in the open, not in the dark. No. No, he cannot. That implies if he had his sight, he would be the best fighter in the world anywhere. He could literally just kill everyone on the planet if he wanted. Like, the blindness just put him at the level of being like the best assassin in the world. Like, he would be the best assassin in the galaxy if he still had his... I'm like, we have to acknowledge that the blindness is a handicap. We can be like, that's cool that you're still a badass. But it should still be seen as something that affects you. And I mean, there are moments, but like, you should not just automatically in any normal situation be as good a fighter as the other highly trained professional assassins.
Yeah, I mean, for one thing, that's an interesting thing you're taking away from the character and yep. character development and interesting ways the character might, interesting things the character might do to overcome a particular challenge like that. I mean, this is a problem that a lot of storytelling has with any type of character, which is There's no natural challenges. There's no, like, even challenges as you would expect based on their size or anything else. Doesn't matter. It doesn't exist. And, you know, like you said, it's cool that this person has this disadvantage against their foe and they're still awesome or whatever, but it's more interesting if you see them, how, what clever way or interesting way or from experience, how they've learned to neutralize that challenge, or you even use it to their advantage somehow. Like you were just saying, if one of the ways he was taking out all whole crowds of people is if he disabled the lights so he couldn't be seen, but his hearing is better so he can fight that way. Well, that would be clever.
Well, and that's the thing. I think we imply something like that in this movie. Hmm. He does a few things that I think imply some sort of echolocation.
Oh.
Because there are times where he will like bang on something for seemingly no reason, or like, cause he has guns. which I mean, there'd be more spoilers, but oh my God, he uses guns quite a bit and it makes no sense. But there are times where he's in a situation and he uses a gun and he just fires it into the air a few times and then starts doing things hand to hand. And there's several places where I think we're supposed to imply he's doing an echolocation thing, but it's not clear. And more importantly, there are times when we're clearly not doing that and nothing changes. So, I mean, also, they're all getting old. The action is not as good in this one because it, I understand it. Like, Keanu is in his 50s.
Yeah.
Like, it's rough. Like, but no. It's, I mean, I don't know. If you like, I'd say if you like, in my opinion, if you like 2 and 3, you'll like 4. But Trish liked 2 and 3 and didn't particularly like 4. So, I don't know.
So there's prequel stuff coming out, right? For that? Or like a streaming
show? Well, there
show?
Was. There already was. Peacock had a miniseries about the Continental in New York that took place in like the 80s or something. And for a moment, I, like everybody else, was like, ooh, maybe I should watch that. And I was like, no. All they're going to give you is maybe some action, presumably some, and more lore into the history that will make it all dumber. What they did this time also.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just have to add in new MacGuffins because, you know, John Wick has been fucked for ages and he keeps getting refucked. And then they come up with a new, well, if you go and talk to this guy and perform and solve his 3 riddles, then they have to let you go this time. Oh, but you didn't say please, so now everybody's going to kill you again. Oh, but if you climb up to this hill and then back down and tell us what you saw, then this time you'll be fine. Oh, no, wait, you didn't do it right. So that, like, that's all it ever is John Wick's a person. This random aspect of the lore we just invented makes him a wanted man. This random aspect of the lore we just invented will free him. Next movie, different bit, makes him a wanted man, but a different thing will free him. And no. So, yeah, a lot of good people in this movie. We got Ken Watanabe is in this. We got the blind guy is a well-known martial artist. Actually, I can't remember the name right now. Clancy Brown. I love seeing Clancy Brown keep getting work. Keanu, love Keanu. Ian McShane and Lawrence Fishburne are there for like very little time. Like they show up in multiple scenes, but it's one of those like very frequently they're not with other people. So it's like, yeah, it's fun. I like watching them still be around and stuff, but yeah. All right. I think we actually have email this week. So
yeah, we do have one.
Yeah.
I have to find it. Here we go. This is from
Ezzy
Jazz.
Oh, okay. That was going to be my next guest.
Someone in one of my classes recently referred to gender when they meant genre.
Oh.
This led me to think about what my genre identity might be. I immediately thought gothic postmodern comedy and then realized that I must see myself as living in the world of the Addams Family. So what do you think your genre identities are?
Well, I have always been very big on I hate society has built a genre binary that I absolutely reject.
Okay.
I consider myself of a non-binary genre.
Okay.
Genre is a spectrum, let's be honest. Genre is an ever-changing spectrum, and none of us should pigeonhole ourselves. I have no genre. I consider myself to be literature. I transcend genre. I am literature. I mean, this is a weird question because I can interpret it two different ways. Two different serious ways, not the ridiculous way I first interpreted. One is, what genre does my life fall into? In which case, I would probably say mumblecore comedy. I do consider myself to be one of the privileged people whose real life does fall into the comedy genre. My life is funny. And sometimes on purpose. Or, like, what genre is my spirit? You know, what genre am I in my soul? In which case, it's probably still mumblecore comedy. I don't know. This is a weird ass question. I like it, but it's a hard one to answer. So jazz lives in the Addams Family?
Gothic postmodern comedy. Addams Family. Yeah, I think that pretty much nails it for her as long as I've known her.
It's
going on 20 years.
I don't know what's gothic about jazz.
Well, I mean, one could argue, I mean, like, even if you want to spin off of, like, being raised by circus folk and all that stuff, that's kind of a gothic.
No, to me, that's very pulpy, you know?
Well, there's a lot of crossover.
We get flashbacks of her as a child running from bad guys on a moving train or whatever.
There's a lot of crossover
years
later, probably.
She has to retrieve the artifact.
But I mean, in the postmodern part of it's important too.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, and I think she's very right. Postmodern.
I think it's about right, given, you know, it's not just her childhood, obviously, it's all kinds of other experiences. I think that sounds about right. I'm not sure. So, like, if I'm trying to think of what I would say your genre is.
This is toughy.
What would you say the genre is of your novel?
Fantasy.
Just straight up fantasy, not like urban fantasy or?
No, I don't think so. Because it's world hopping, so.
Oh.
I mean, I guess you could say it is modern fantasy or. It's a present day fantasy. So, I mean, I guess that's a thing. Which could be contributing to urban fantasy. The genre of my life has changed really drastically over the years.
Yeah, maybe that's another thing I would think, because that's true. It has. You've had a lot of changes.
Some of it, only looking back now, was really kind of dark.
Yeah.
And then a lot of it was very exciting, and it's all been kind of funny, but I I do not have a good answer for this. And more importantly, I think I'm probably going to have trouble sleeping tonight. What about you? You've been talking a lot of game without mentioning yourself at all.
You know, I'm not.
On the Death Star? Like, that looks like the lighting they had in the Death Star. Like,
that's just the sun on the blue wall.
But you know what I'm talking about. Like, they had mm-hmm. the little panels of light on the Death Star. I think you're on the Death Star.
I don't. So
you have a little mini Epcot center in front of you there that we can only see part of.
That's the microphone.
It's Spaceship Earth.
I had to move it because it was catching light over here and it starts to glow.
Are you dead? Are you in heaven? Is that what this is?
I think my life has to be a tragedy because I've been told, the spoiler, that I die in the end, so.
Not all stories where the main character dies in the end is a tragedy.
Jazz...
What is your genre identity?
I know that Jazz has just made this thing up, but I feel like one of the rules is probably your life has to be a certain level of interesting before you get a genre. I don't think my life is interesting enough to have a genre. I don't know what it would be.
Well, this is a problem too. I think Jazz is cheating because she comes from
she's had a very interesting life. I mean, she could write a memoir and people would read it because it would be interesting. I don't think I could write a memoir that anyone would want to read.
Occasionally hit one of Jazz's entries on Facebook. They all just make me tired. Like, I don't have the physical endurance to live Jazz's life.
That's amazing. I know. She's amazing.
All like hearing about too. It, hearing yeah. about her life makes me need a nap. There's a lot going on.
A lot going on. Yeah, she's one of those larger than life types of people, really.
But we are straying away theoretically from the idea. This is your genre identity within you. So it's not necessarily the things that have happened. What genre is your soul?
Oh, man.
I mean,
see, again, it seems like you're saying
silent movie comedy.
If you were interesting, William, what would the genre be? And that's like asking, what if an orange was a Cadillac? I mean, it's just not a thing. But
all right, let's assume your identity is an extremely poorly written book. I've been assuming that for years, but let's all assume that now. It still would have a genre.
Okay. Would it be a nonfiction?
No. You don't play the game right.
Okay. I'm
I love how I'm berating you to answer a question that I have been unable to answer. It's creepy. Your whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
Is this like a stealth promo for that new Mormon movie that's coming out?
It's just the lighting in here is terrible.
I just saw a trailer for it.
I mean, let me think about this. I'll try to be serious and think about this. There are like watershed moments in my life that I could stitch together and make a fictional story about like someone else. And it would be stuff that really happened to me. But I think it could make a cogent and maybe somewhat entertaining story, depending on how I stitched it together and what kind of character I put in the story who was more interesting than me. But all of the events would be the same. And those events kind of have a through line, I guess.
Torture porn?
No.
Regular porn?
What's the
genre? I don't know if that's a genre.
What's the genre where where the arc, like when the person is 60 years old and the arc takes that long, like it's just a long thing. It takes a long time and there's a lot of struggles and maybe they're exiled for a while. And it's kind of like the main thing about the genre is the story takes a long time to tell, but interesting things are happening. Just for the sake of argument, assume that interesting things are happening. But it's just a long journey. It's a long, arduous, really hard journey. Finally, the person gets to come home at the end.
After. I mean, I think there's in that case, I think it's sort of epic adventure.
Well, that sounds not like me at all.
I agree.
Because that's...
When the fuck were you exiled?
Oh, well, I'm comparing that to like, I mean, for example, I live 100 miles from where I grew up, and that was never really my intention, you know, and I often miss home a lot, and I get home as often as I can, and I feel bad sometimes.
They'll let you come back.
I know, but circumstances have sort of, I didn't really plan on being over here. You know, sometimes it's taken me, it's like a decade ago, it sort of took me by surprise. I'm like, wow, I'm still over here. I know that sounds weird, but I just had it in my head psychologically, you know, I always felt like living over here was temporary. I mean, I don't feel like that anymore, but for like most of the time I've lived over here.
I assumed I'd move back to Oregon.
Did you?
Did I what?
Did you assume you'd move back to Oregon?
Yes. Sorry, I thought you were asking if I moved back to Oregon.
No, but okay, so then you might know a little bit what I mean. It's like, at some point, your brain has to go, all this time I'm thinking of myself as a temporary resident here. I've been here for 30 years. This is stupid for me to think this way. And that had
Well, I didn't have the degree of it you had. I assumed I would go back after college and probably settle down in Oregon. I always assumed Portland, not Salem. And then I just tried to stay in my college town. And then I moved because that was driving me crazy. And then I ended up with a woman who didn't want to leave Iowa. And then I was just sort of stuck here. And now I don't want to leave Iowa.
But
despite
I mean,
tremendous evidence to the contrary.
But I mean, that's just part of it, though, because there's also, I mean, now that I'm getting into, you know, a specific profession where I'm doing something that I've been interested in my whole life, but didn't do professionally, you know, that kind of feels like, it feels a little momentous, I guess. And it's been a really long journey. You know, it's been a long time coming, and I can trace a lot of this stuff I'm doing now and my interest in it and my feelings about it to things that happened to me when I was really young, high school, junior high, even younger. So, it just seems like if I was going to tell a story about me or my life, it would like literally start when I'm 2 years old and it would end around, you know, 55, 60 of a really
the
long
genre of your life is biography. You suck so much.
I'm just trying to figure out.
All right. Well, let me help you because I've solved mine.
Oh, good. Thank God. Oh.
My genre identity is coming of age tale. My life is a constant saga of coming of age tale. I am constantly coming of different ages and borderline reinventing my entire self many, 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 many times, all the time. And it largely has to do with my own anxieties and self-obsession. So I am very focused on what kind of person I am, almost more than I am focused on what I'm actually doing in my life.
Interesting.
So that's mine. And it makes me sad to realize that, but here I am.
That makes you sad? Well, it sounds like a good thing in a way. I mean, that makes your life very interesting, I think. Don't you think? Or no?
It does. I mean, interesting is the word for it.
I think it's interesting anyway.
It makes it hard to progress in any life goals or drives. Because I am constantly reassessing what those goals and drives are.
I see, yeah.
All the time. And second guessing and third guessing and throwing everything out the window and letting relationships die out all over the place. So yeah, there's, I feel like I'm in a constant sort of transformative state. And so I never settle enough to do anything per se. It's my particular way of being bad at mindfulness. I've determined that literally everyone in the world is terrible at mindfulness, but a lot of us are terrible at mindfulness in different ways.
That's very insightful, and I think that's true. Yeah.
What's your genre identity? Tell us in the comments or go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us what you think Azure Talent's genre identity is.
But you don't want Azure Talent to tell you what he thinks is genre identity.
I mean, if he wants to, I suppose. Or whatever. Is painting figurines a genre? I don't know. It's a, his Facebook is just him showing all figurines he painted. I only, of like the 300 and however many Facebook friends I have, only like maybe a dozen of them have I not muted. And weirdly, two of those mostly just post all the figurines they painted. Which is not something I'm interested in. So I question this, but yeah. But what's your deal? What's your genre identity? I was really amused by gender meaning genre. I, as somebody who watches a lot of videos from British people doing like listicles and things, sometimes they pronounce words differently because British people pronounce words differently. Sometimes it's that thing where you've only ever seen the word. And in fact, just recently I heard somebody referring to someone being lambasted over something.
Oh, instead of lambasted or...
Exactly.
Yeah, lambasted.
And occasionally it's ones where it's just a full-on different word. Like they clearly just didn't read close enough, which I always find interesting. Yeah, so tell us your genre identity. Also, how many John Wicks have you seen? And how good do you think a blind person could kill people? How many money pits have you been in the last 10 years? Also, seriously, what is up with William's whole lighting deal? It's freaky as shit. I don't know if you're ascending or what.
I don't know. I gotta figure it out.
Here comes the sun, do 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 do, as they say. I feel all right. Write into us, please. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com with your own comments, questions, typo concepts, whatever you want. I do love this idea. I do love thinking of having a genre identity. It's just hard. And ultimately very depressing. But maybe yours is fun. Maybe you're a stoner comedy. I feel like I could have been, but I didn't quite pull it off.
You didn't quite pull off stoner comedy.
I didn't quite. Maybe you're one of those parody films that used to have Leslie Nielsen in them. Maybe you're Leslie Nielsen. Maybe your genre identity is Leslie Nielsen. In which case, congratulations. It's a good one to have. It's one of the tops.
I didn't think that mine could be a farce.
Probably is. I frequently think of your everything as being a farce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your whole deal.
My whole deal.
All of it. Every part of the deal. Farce. 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 Listen in next week. It's funny because usually we had to double up because Thanksgiving is Thursday. But now that we're recording on Monday, we're not going to have to do that. So how crazy is that for everybody?
Crazy.
Very. It's only crazy for us. For the rest of it, it's not crazy. But still, enjoy it. And we will talk to you next week.
It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.